Job chapter 6, if the Lord will help me tonight, but I want to just talk to you for a few minutes about the burden on my heart. Here's what happens to me as I go along life's way. From time to time I get kind of a load on me. I get something just gnawing at me and I can't get away from it. And it's just been gnawing at me. In fact, I've talked to Chad about it some, and maybe somebody, Brian, I don't know if we talked about it the other night or not, but I just wonder, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing as a church? What kind of church are we? I mean, I appreciate it, and the Lord visits us, and He shows us mercy. Really, we're undeserving the Lord's presence. Y'all do know that. We're not a bunch of good people, and God, just because we're so good, He passes by. Can I just tell you what He does? He just shows us mercy and comes by. He loves us, and He shows us mercy and comes by, and I thank Him for that. But here's what's in my heart. I want to be doing what the Lord wants us to do. Are we doing that? I ask myself that, and I'm going to have to get this. I may be trapped in this thing tonight. There we go. I ask myself this question so many times. We can worship, we can praise the Lord, but are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? We're sending missionaries around the world. I know that's right. I know it's right to pray for them, right to finance them, but are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? And I just like to ask you personally. I think that's really maybe where I'm at. I'd like to ask you personally, are you doing what this Bible tells you to do? In Luke 15, I thought about this. And here's what it says in Luke 15. And I know I'm taking it out of context, so don't run me in the ditch. I'm making application. That's all I'm doing. The Bible says, and He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Now, I want to ask you this question. This is what rolls through my mind. And I guess I'm open to have my hand smacked if I'm thinking wrong. But where was the emphasis at? Here is 99 in the fold, and here's one lost. What did the man spend his time on? He went after the lost one, didn't he? He left the 99 that was in the fold and safely. Do you not think sometimes we spend more time on the 99 than we do the one that's astray? Is God's priority on the one that was lost or the 99 that was safely in the fold? And I know the sheep have to have attention. I'm not, don't think I'm that narrow-minded. I'm just asking you, is that text indicative of God's priority in your life? And then I ask myself this, do I have a priority of going after sinners? And I would like to ask you this evening, is that your priority? Was it a shepherd? Does it say he was a shepherd? It says a man. What man of you having 100 sheep? Was the man's priority the priority that we ought to have? Now, you can just think on that for a while like I have been thinking. I wonder what our priority is as a church. And I understand here's what I think. I don't think you sacrifice evangelism for the sake of discipleship. That's what I think. They're both important. They both have their place. But you do not justify ignoring one for the other. Would y'all agree with that? I think we really ought to think about that. I'm not trying to say anything. And it's on my heart. I told Chad I wasn't going to preach on this, but I'm going to talk about it for a little while, Chad, because I can't get it off my heart. And in Matthew chapter 5, I guess it is. Let me see where it's at. The salt in the chapter 5, verse 13. I want you to look with me in chapter 5, verse 13. And I want to just give you a few little thoughts this evening. I don't guess maybe I'm even preaching to you. I'm just giving you a burden on my heart. Maybe something I should preach Sunday night. I don't know, but it's on me, and I'm just going to say a few words about it and leave it with you this evening. And if I need to preach on it next Sunday night, I will. But here's what it says in Matthew 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, it doesn't say savior. It says savor. Savor. What is savor? It's taste. It's flavor. If the salt have lost its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? If the salt's bad, what's going to make the salt taste right? It is thenceforth. Here's a little phrase I want you to get a hold of. It is thenceforth good for nothing. That's a powerful statement. Here's what I wonder if it's saying. When we lose our Christ likeness, spiritually speaking, we are good for nothing. Now, Paul said this in Galatians 2:20, and this ought to be how we live. I don't think it is so many times. But here's what he said in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. In other words, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. But he says this, nevertheless I live. I'm dead, but I'm alive. But then he says this, yet not I. See, when we get saved, we're supposed to be crucified with Christ. Spiritually, we are. But practically, we should be as well. But he said this, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, I'd like to ask you this, who's living in you? Your flesh or Christ? Who really controls your life? You, or is it Christ living in you? I don't know about you. These scriptures have convicted me all week. It's just convicted my soul. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so our life ought to be this, Christ living in us. It ought to be Christ living our life for us. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful verse. I don't know that many people can say that they've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless they live, and it's Christ that's living in them. Can you say that? And here's what it says, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, its flavor, if the Christian has lost his godliness, his holiness, his Christ-likeness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth, and this is spiritually speaking, good for nothing. Is that not a powerful statement? Brother Allen, when you lose your flavor of Christ-likeness, you're good for nothing. You can say it to me. I'm not picking you out. I could say it to each one of you. If you do not have the flavor of Christ, if you've lost your spiritual flavor, you're good for nothing. Man, that sobers me. That really sobers my soul. I wonder if our church is really a church that Christ lives through us. How many lives are we impacting outside the walls of this church? How many sinners are we pursuing? Or are we spending our time on the 99? And the 99 have to have attention. No doubt about that. That's been on my heart all week. I thought about this salt. I don't know if you've ever read a little bit. I heard a message once on salt, and it made me research it a little bit. Salt doesn't come like you find it in the shaker. It comes in chunks. It has to be broken up. When salt in its natural form, salt, when they mine salt, it's in big chunks. It has to be broken. It has to be cleansed. It's impure. It has to be cleaned up. They tell me they wash salt. I don't know, and then dry it some way or another. Salt has to be washed and cleaned up. And then let me just tell you what else comes to my mind on this salt. If I had a big old, let's say I had a big old steak in this plate, and here's the salt shaker. There sits the salt, and my big old steak is sitting right there, and it's needing salt. Is it going to be helped if I just slide it up there close to it? You know what has to happen for that salt to work? It has to be applied. It has to come in contact with what it's going to help. Do y'all see where I'm going with that? How much contact are we having with those who need the good flavor of Christ in their life? That sobers me, church. I feel like we have our worship down, but I don't know how many people were impacted. I don't know if we love sinners like we ought to. Now I'm being critical, and it sounds like I'm being critical. I'm really not. I guess I'm more concerned about me than I am anybody. How many sinners are you concerned about? Now, we know if we have immediate family, children, grandchildren, of course, we ought to be concerned about them, I guess. We ought to have some concern there. That's probably natural, but let me, you say, preacher, how do I measure that? Well, I don't know. How many have you touched? Salt's no good unless it touches what it's going to help. How many sinners' lives have you touched in the past 2 weeks? Is that Am I being harsh? Am I being too hard? I'm just telling you where I'm. What God's kind of just been working on me with. I mean, there was 100 sheep, 99 of them was there. He just lost one. What's the big deal losing one? But the priority was on the one that was lost. Do we have the same priority the Lord has? Have we lost our Christ-likeness? Are our priorities sideways from what His priorities are? Starting to say were and are? We need to be Christ-like. You'd agree with that. What His priorities is ought to be our priorities. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're what gives flavor to Christianity to the world. You are an epistle that they read. They read your life. They're not going to read the Bible. You know that. Sinners, they might if God gets a hold of them just right. But most sinners are reading you instead of the Bible.
Yes, sir.
And what they read in your life is what they think of your God. That's right. That's right. And what they see out of most of us is unconcern. Unconcern for lost souls. And I don't know the answer. All I know, it's just been troubling me lately. It's just been troubling. I wonder if in this whole congregation, if we're after more than five sinners. Larry Gregory and Jake, I think of them. Matthew, I think of him. I think of Wayne Davis. I always pray for Wayne Davis. Not been to see. I've not touched his life, Brother Allen. Here's what I'm saying. What good are we if we're not touching people's lives? In fact, the matter, if we don't have the flavor of Christ about our life, we're not going to be any good if we do touch their lives. Now, I'm not trying to smack your hands or give you a guilt trip or make you feel bad. I just want you to think the way I've been thinking. And some of you may be way ahead of where I think we're at. I know this thing of witnessing and evangelism. I know a lot of times I don't know who's doing what. I'm just saying, I wonder how many lives this church is touching. And salt is of no value unless it touches what it's trying to help taste better or be better. It's of no value. And then I would encourage you, ask yourself. Don't let me make you feel bad, but you ask yourself, you and God, talk it over. What kind of salt are you? Are you touching lives? And my, if we're not, something's wrong. Would I be fair to say that?
Yes,
I mean, we shout it out. I love it. I love it. I'd dry up on the bone if we didn't have that. Spiritually speaking, I'd dry away. But the fact of the matter is it leaving the four church walls? Something to think about, isn't it? And then it says this, not only are you the salt, ye are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Think about that. You are the ones that illuminate a dark world. Illumination. Why do we have illumination? It's for revelation. Isn't that right? That's what light does. It illuminates a room and then it reveals about that room. Illumination produces revelation. It reveals we, the light of the world, illuminate a lost world and reveal to it what our Christ is and can do with a life. That's what it should be. But then the Bible says you're a light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Now a city that's on a hill, you can't hide a city. Really can't hide one down the valley. I've been up on the mountains and looked down and saw cities down in the valley. A lot of times couldn't be hid. But verse 15 says this. Why does it say this? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Why would the Bible say that? Could it be that sometimes we as lights prefer to be hid? How many of you all prefer to be hid when you're out in the world? Is it not more comfortable to be hid?
Yes, sir.
For nobody to know really who you are and what you believe and who your God is and what you think about Him? Isn't it a lot easier to hide that light and not illuminate that lost dark world? And reveal to them truths about your Christ, your Savior. And here's the thing. If you don't light the world, nobody else is.
Right.
You say, well, there's other Christians. They don't seem to be lighting the world up, illuminating the world, if I can use that word. They're not illuminating the world. Are we illuminating Blount County? I think you get where I'm coming from tonight. I'm just troubled about that. And then it says this, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then it says this, let your light so shine before men. Now that's what the Lord wants out of your life, is for your light to shine before men.
Amen.
That kind of does away with this secret discipleship, doesn't it? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. There's another phrase that has just plagued me for some time. How many good works are going on outside the four walls of the Ridgeview Baptist Church by the Ridgeview Baptist Church? I'm talking about works that will illuminate men and women and reveal to them about our Christ, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what good works are about. I guess I ask myself this, and I'm a student of the Word. I study the Word of God. I may not come across like I do. You may think, boy, that's one ignorant preacher, but I promise you, I spend time in the book. But then I start asking myself, what about my good works? to a lost and a dying world that they can see Christ. I spend a lot of my time in the study. And then I asked myself for the church because, you know, the leadership has a lot of direction. It influences the direction of the church to a great deal. Sure. What about our other preachers in the church? How about it, preachers? All right, let's step down to the deacons. Let's go to the Sunday school teachers. Are we a working church? And if we are a working church, are we working at the right things? Now here's what you think. You think I'm trying to lead you down a path. I'm just telling you what's been on my heart for the past 3 or 4 days. This is what's on my heart. Really, are we salt? And are we the light of the world? Now the part of the world we're in is Blount County. Are we salt in Blount County? Are we the light in Blount County that we ought to be? And can I just say for me, I think I come up short. In fact, I feel definitely sure I come up short. What about you? And here's what I'm wondering. I wonder if we just need to repent and do different if we have come up short. And I could just go on and on along this line. We could talk. I've got all them Titus verses on good works, and we could define good works. And how long's it been since you've done a good work for the glory of God? Not just to make you feel better. Not because that was your special friend and you loved them and you just wanted to do it. But for God's glory, you did what you did. Now, folks, I don't know. Maybe I'm coming across too strong or too harsh with you, and I don't mean to. That's my heart. Here's what I know God wants us to do, to put a priority on lost souls. I believe that. I believe that's why he left the 99 and went after the one. It was a priority. He could have wrote the one off and everything would have been fine. 99 sheep out of 100 is pretty good. If you only have one loss, that's 1% loss. That's pretty good. You probably still make a good profit at the marketplace with that kind of loss. But there's a priority. And if we're going to put a priority on sinners, we're going to have to be salt. And we're going to have to touch their lives. And I don't know how to tell you to touch their lives. I don't know how to tell you what sinners to go see. Here's what people said to me. We used to visit. Tell me who you want me to go see, preacher. I run out of names. I didn't know who to tell them to go see. Went and seen the same ones over and over and over again. Never cultivating new sinners. But if we're going to put a priority on sinners, we're going to have and be successful about it, we're going to have to be salt and touch their lives. Some way we've got to touch their lives. And we're going to have to be light. We're going to have to illuminate them to who our Savior is. And that means we can't hide who we are. We can't be ashamed of it. We can't be embarrassed about it. And our flesh wants to, and don't tell me it don't, because I know better. As you get older, it gets a little less of a you care less what people think, but you still have a flesh to deal with. And so here's my challenge to you. I don't guess I'll go to Job 6. I hope I didn't disobey the Lord tonight. But this has just been eating me up. And I know I'm just talking to you. I'm just sharing with you the burden on my heart this evening. Are our priorities in line with God's priorities? Are we salt, true salt? Are we good for nothing? We've lost our Christ-likeness and we're good for nothing. Or are we good salt and just do not touch the lives of sinners? Or are we touching sinners? And I just leave that with you. I just leave that with you tonight. I just want you to just think about that. And if the Holy Ghost deals with you like He has me, let's just repent. Get right with God and yield to the Spirit of God. Do what we need to do. Now I know that's just a little short. Maybe some of y'all think nothing much of a lesson, but that has been burning in my heart for 3 or 4 days. What is our priorities? Are we salt? And are we light? Let's bow our heads for just a minute. I'm just going to ask somebody to play on the piano for just a minute. And if God spoke to your heart, would you just obey Him? Just do what He asks you to do.